Hey, good morning, Upstate. 7:07 is our time, and also a pretty good jetliner in its day. Good to have you with us here at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, where our Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. Love to hear from you this morning. And the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. Texters out there this morning. Let's see here. Jimbo, have heard rumors that Trey Gowdy might be the next attorney general, and the people are against it. I think it's a perfect move, if true. Thoughts? I think Trey has the perfect temperament to be an effective attorney general or to be an effective judge, maybe a federal appeals court judge, for example. That would be my thinking on that. I know in the past he has not been one who was in love with Washington. I remember a time when someone suggested that Trey challenge Lindsey Graham in the Senate primary, and his response was, what, a six-year prison term instead of a two-year term? He's never loved Washington. In fact, when he decided not to seek re-election, my thought was that he would run for something here, but then I think he's now indicated he's not that interested in even running for statewide office, so I don't know what's in his future, but I think in his work on congressional committees and trying to find out what is the truth about a number of issues that have plagued a lot of us, like Hillary's emails and things of that nature, I think Trey would be a good choice. I'm not sure that working for President Trump would be the most enjoyable thing in the world, but in any event, I think that the president should consider Gowdy, and Gowdy should consider the position. He's got the prosecutorial mindset. So, yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. I know many consider Trey to be something less than perfect, as are we all, but I think that he would do well in that post. Texter here says, referring to the last Lee Rogers newscast, did the news report just say that the Thousand Oaks, California shooter assaulted a coach, and that almost got him kicked off the team? As I recall, that was exactly the gist of it, yeah. And then the texter goes on to say, maybe that's the issue. In my day, we wouldn't have dreamed about assaulting a coach, and if someone did, they would go to jail. Yeah, getting kicked off the team would be action number one. Action number two would have been jail charges. That's part of it. That's part of it. Oh, boys will be boys. Oh, and these days, of course, girls will be girls. In any event, I think it's probably safe to say that that we don't react quickly enough in people such as the Thousand Oaks shooter, which is another issue that we can mention this morning, too, by virtue of the fact that I think the public is going to start demanding preemptive action. When you look at somebody who does something violent, somebody who makes bombs or shoots people, and you start digging into his background, you discover warning sign, warning sign, warning sign, more warning signs, and you wonder, why couldn't we have done something preemptively? I think that is a course that is worth exploring, but I think we should keep in mind that this is fraught with potential abuse. It is probably going to be necessary to have some kind of preemptive behavior on people who show, shall we say, signs of violent behavior, but it may have to be along the lines of mandatory counseling of some sort. You can't just simply give government the power to say, you impress us, we in the government, as being someone who is a potential danger to people, like, say, maybe people who don't meet certain community standards. And so we're going to arrest you and all the other conservatives and put you in a gulag. Don't think that's a great idea. But for people who show genuine warning signs, yeah, something needs to be done to at least intervene to the extent that, if nothing else, the person in question realizes that we're watching you. We may have to go down that road. We've had too many instances of people going off half-cocked and doing violent things when we realize later there were warning signs. But as I say, that will have to be a law that is very carefully written and a law which will have to be very carefully enforced if, in fact, we go down that road. Let's see here. There can never and will never be unity among nations and peoples of the world until there is one language. And what language will that be? Certainly the multitude of tongues that we speak is a divisive force, although in this day and age I don't think it's a force that can't be overcome. But yeah, certainly there needs to be greater unity of language. I would agree. For the moment, I'm content with nation states which get along with each other. That would be a nice goal to work for. Luther Moon noting that particular text, and how will it come about? Well, in effect, really, English has become the language of the world. It is very hard these days to be a leader in any country that is a country that, in the true meaning of the name, where you don't understand English. English is, for example, the term, the language which is used in international air traffic control. And it's one of the working languages of the United Nations. So we do have, in fact, for what it's worth, an international language, and it is English. And I would say, good, I'm for that. Let's see here. Candidates for Attorney General, David Clark or Joe Arpaio, the former sheriff of Maricopa County, Arizona. I don't think he's even a lawyer, is he? If he is, that's news to me. Okay. Texter says, Trey said he wants to join a law firm locally so he can be close to his family. Yeah. If, for example, he was appointed, let's say, a federal judge in this area, that might be something he'd be willing to do. But I think that the desire to be close to family is important. One thing you have to realize, if you represent someone in Congress from further away than, say, 300 miles, and we certainly are that, if you do justice to your job in Congress, that is to say, you go to the floor votes, and you go to the committee meetings, and you go to the subcommittee meetings, and you meet with constituents, and you meet with fundraising people to raise money, because otherwise you can't get reelected. Even though Congress usually works about a three-day work week when in session, the fact remains that you don't see much of your family. So I can understand that. And that's, I'm sure, been a motivating factor for more than a few people who have left Congress. Anyway, more to come this morning. I think I might at some point bring up the subject of deer, D-E-E-R, and certainly the Florida recount, the Arizona count as well. The Ingalls Advantage talk line, 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, and J.L. calls in from Spartanburg. Good morning, J.L. Do we have J.L.? Well, we did a moment ago. One can hope that we will get J.L. back in just a moment. In any event, the Florida vote situation is a pretty seriously bad circumstance. And Brenda Snipes, this is a person who in the past has displayed her contempt for the voting process. Do I hear by any chance JL in the background there? We do not have JL. Well, okay, there you go. All right, just trying to get that squared away here. How Brenda Snipes has been able to survive this long is in and of itself pretty remarkable and pretty tragic. A judge has already gone after her. We do have JL now. Okay. Hello, JL in Spartanburg. Good morning. Well, we have a problem. Okay, we'll get you on at some point here. In the meantime, it's 7:23. Is that JL?
Radio, you can't get. Are you getting me now?
Yes, you're on the radio, JL. Go right ahead. We seem to have solved this miracle of technology. Go ahead.
Yeah, they're finding boxes of voting here and there and everywhere, and in the cars, and somebody said they found some in a shark. There's somebody voting before voting time that knows about these machines. They go in there and voting and hiding these darn things and kind of mixing it up. And when them things first come out, the machine, well, I went down to learn how to operate it and this, that, and other. Well, I saw Al Gore then. And I voted straight Democrat. Well, I turned around and started talking to this lady who was there with the machine. She said, "You voted Republican." I said, "Not hardly. I voted straight Democrat." And I quit voting. I'm not going to waste my time going down there voting for somebody else. So they need to check it. But when they count, the, you know, recount, well, naturally, yeah, the other guy's going to win if they count the votes that it's been hid here and there.
Well, I agree with you. I'll be honest with you, JL, I would not stop voting, certainly, but I would certainly make a major stink with the elections people. Did you complain? Well, then, did you complain about that?
No, I didn't pay it any attention. I just let it go. But I pushed my wife about it. But no, I voted this time. I vote absentee now because I can't stand in line. And they sent me out some paperwork, and I voted 3 weeks before time. But it's absentee because I can't stand in line that long. I got back trouble.
Right.
And I'm 78 years old. So they need to check that because these hidden numbered voting ballots, they're hid. Well, they're going to count them again. I mean, end with this mess. And the other fellas are naturally going to win. They ought to throw all that mess away and start over.
I'm afraid that I'm not really what you would call a Luddite or a person who is anti-technology as such, but I don't believe we should worship technology. And frankly, the good old paper ballot is about as hard to mess with as anything out there. Not impossible, sure, when you wind up with ballot boxes that are discovered in the trunks of cars and the like. You can make any system cheat, but it's harder. It takes more effort to make the system cheat when it comes to paper ballots. And there is, of course, that paper trail that is there. And let's not forget that even as automatic as we currently have, I vote on a little electronic screen, of course, and I think that's how most people in South Carolina vote. But there are those who want us to vote over the Internet. Can you imagine that? Talk about hackability. A terrible, terrible, terrible idea. It's simply the integrity of the voting system is more important than that. It takes a while for us to count the vote. Well, then so be it. Point well taken, JL. Thank you very much. Rick calls in from Easley this morning on the Tara Show. Hello, Rick.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me okay?
We hear you fine. Go right ahead.
Oh, thanks. Well, the problem is pretty, I had to listen to a bunch of newscasts and read several stories to kind of noodle out the particulars of this, but it's actually, if they followed the rules like all the other counties in Florida, there wouldn't be a problem. 30 minutes after the polls close, you're supposed to, in Florida, report the total number of votes cast, the total number of ballots within 30 minutes. They're supposed to count the early ballots the day before the election because they've got them all in, or the night before. And then the day of the election, like everybody knows, you go in and you sign your name by a number. And at the end of the day, you know how many people voted. That's easy to get. When you get that baseline number of knowing how many votes you have, then you compare when you count the votes, it's got to total up to that number. Well, they didn't call it in for days. Or they gave a number, and then they keep trying to change it. And as they count the votes, they're supposed to report their tally every 45 minutes until they're done. They didn't do that either. If you follow those rules, then it's pretty hard to cheat. If you don't, it is pretty hard to cheat. Pretty easy to cheat because you can keep creating ballots, finding ballots. But once you have a hard number of how many ballots you have, you can't add to it.
Yeah.
So the lady has, and I lose that term, use that term loosely. The lady, the lady is creating, if she's unhappy with the criticism she's receiving, she's creating her own demise. I mean, there is no way that you should be able to, with those rules in place and that being the law, and everybody else, including the people who were in the path of the hurricanes that just went through, were able to accomplish this task. There is no way that you can allow 93,000 votes to come in a couple of days after the polls close.
Yeah, Rick, you are absolutely correct. We're going to pause briefly and get us all updated on the latest news of the morning, but Rick and Easley is absolutely correct. There are simple procedures. Follow them or else be prosecuted. I agree. Interesting comment here, not on the things we're talking about, but on a low-visibility morning such as this one, you would think that 996 out of 1,000 cars fully lit would give the four clueless drivers an inkling to turn on their lights. You would. Keep that in mind, folks. Daylight saving time over. And if it's dark out or cloudy out, Miami-Dade County election officials have begun feeding ballots into scanning machines on Saturday evening. And I'm sure that Broward County will get around to that by maybe next year. A little cynicism crept into my voice there. No, sooner than that, but any time they want to get around to it, they might want to think about it. You know, the public is waiting for an outcome. It is a system that has problems. Yes, there are flaws in the system. Some of the equipment is bad. Some of the processes are bad. Those need to be fixed, but that does not excuse the level of incompetence at best and corruption at worst that is represented by people like Broward County Election Supervisor Brenda Snipes. Our whole basis in government is predicated on the fact that, well, my side lost, but at least I have confidence the outcome was fair. When you lose that confidence, you are ripping at the very fabric of society. This is not acceptable. And yes, if that means prosecuting some people, yes, prosecute them. Prosecute them, all right? Delighted to have you with us on the Tara Show this morning, as the election, of course, is one that is bothering people, and bothering people understandably. Why is it that we cannot get this straight? Part of it is, frankly, that sometimes we just don't put enough effort and money into our elections. That's part of the problem. To the extent that this is incompetence, faulty procedures and equipment make that more likely that you'll get an incompetent result. To the extent that it is a matter of procedures that are faulty and equipment that's outdated or not properly maintained, then you make corruption easier. All true. Going to the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line this morning, and hey, Jimbo, did you see where one guy found 15 uncounted boxes of Democratic votes inside a python that he killed? Yeah. they just found a 120-pound python in Dade County, Florida, by the way. Let's see here. Rumor has it that the teams clearing landmines in the DMZ have found some boxes of Broward County and Palm Beach, Florida ballots. This is like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Where in the world are the Broward County ballots? I don't know. And it is funny in the sense that, it's just bizarre. Unaccountable. But it's, of course, not funny in terms of the impact that there may well be a systematic effort underway to steal this Florida election for governor and for senator. As another texter noted here, see if I can find the, here we go. The same thing is happening in Maricopa County, Arizona. That's the Phoenix metro area. It is a heavily Democratic county. They are finding votes that are putting Sinema ahead of McSally, the two congresswomen who are running for that Senate seat being vacated by Jeff Flake. Yes, the same thing is happening. Sinema, that in and of itself is just bizarre. the senator from ISIS, I will call her if she is elected. She's the one who says it doesn't matter if Americans go and fight for ISIS. She wouldn't care. And Arizona is rewarding that by, at the moment, having her in the lead for a United States Senate seat. Another texter says, how can they not know in this day and age that the number of votes cast doesn't equal the number of votes counted? It doesn't make any sense. It screams corruption. They know. Trust me, texter. You're talking about people who, in some cases, don't care. They want to win. They will cheat and steal if necessary to win. And there are people like that in some positions of power out there. Another texter, seems the trend is that these issues arise when Republicans win. Did you notice that? Yes, it does seem that way, doesn't it? It seems to arise when Republicans win. Or rather, it's the kind of thing that makes you realize that there are people in this country who, frankly, disagree with the whole premise of majority rule, that who gets the most votes wins. That's the problem. When elections were one-day events, says this texter, with restrictions on early voting, it was much simpler to observe the process and assure ballot security. In many states today, it lasts weeks. The chance of accidental or intentional cheating and one fundamental control is a firm deadline for counting and submission. The old gambit of holding out a few corrupt jurisdictions until the needed margin to turn the final result, LBJ 1948, is easier to employ. That's true. Too many collection laws were liberalized with an objective of overcoming the conservative majority in most precincts. The texter mentioned Lyndon Johnson in 1948. Lyndon Johnson was a congressman in Texas running for the U.S. Senate nomination against Coke Stevenson. Coke Stevenson was the governor, and of course better known statewide than was Lyndon Johnson at the time. Well, it became clear as the voting continued that Lyndon was going to lose by a handful of votes. And suddenly, in one county, they found an extra box of ballots. And Lyndon wound up winning by 77 votes. That's where he acquired the nickname Landslide Lyndon. What's remarkable about those extra votes they found, and this goes to show you, coincidence can happen. Everybody in that county who voted in that ballot box voted by alphabetical order and in the same handwriting when they signed in. But hey, these things happen, right?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.